Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Do the one where you look at your watch. Do that one.
Gosh, where is Wednesday? Perfectly choreographed.
Humans are such creatures of habit. I know you're going to do it, and I look forward to it every time.
You have to see it.
I love it.
I'm waiting for Wednesday. I got to check. What time is it? Because I thought Wednesday was supposed to be here
I
by
like
now.
How you sigh.
You've been in that position, though, right? You know, waiting for
waiting?
Some, waiting on somebody? Like, oh, they should have been here.
Yes. Start tapping your foot. No other time do you tap your foot unless you're listening to music or when you're waiting. Or maybe a little annoyed, start tapping your foot.
Well, and
are you a foot tapper?
Like when there's a good song or something.
Well, yeah, with music for sure.
Toe tapper.
But I'm just thinking outside of like, oh yeah, rhythm. Like when in real life do you like tap your foot?
I'm doing it now that I'm talking about it, but not a thing that I do.
Is that a way to just expel energy? Like
yes, yes. When it's like so much feeling is bubbling up and you just gotta.
It has to escape your toes.
It's gonna be tapped out of my toes. Gotta go somewhere.
Is your mom a foot tapper?
I don't think so.
I feel like moms are more foot tappers than dads.
Yes.
I don't think my dad ever tapped a foot, but I don't know. I feel like my babysitter was a foot tapper. I feel like Marge standing at the back door because we're not coming in fast enough and dinner's ready.
Would tap her toe?
That's a tap toe.
I feel like I just don't see people tapping their toes unless it's in like a very theatrical manner. You know, like that's an onstage direction.
It is very old-timey.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, we both are creatures of the stage.
Yeah.
I can see where that would come from. It feels like it's in like an old, like Mrs. Gulch. Ms. Gulch.
She'd be a toe tapper.
From The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Toe tapper.
Yeah.
If she wasn't on a bicycle, she'd be tapping her toes.
I mean, I don't know that we ever saw her do it, but you know she does.
For sure.
Yeah. She was waiting for Dorothy to get out of her yard, something she'd be tapping her toe.
I own the whole county.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
We got her pegged.
Sure do.
We know Elmira? Elvira?
Is it it's not Elvira. I think it's Elmira.
Between the two of us, I'd really, Elmira.
Because it's Ms.
Yeah.
Gulch. I think it's Elmira Gulch.
Dang.
That's a good name. Let's get that
It's
back.
A mouthful.
I already did baby names for the year, but let's hope 2024 Elmira makes an appearance.
Put it out in the universe.
I just put it out there. Oprah.
Okay. Elmira. It's up for grabs. Who's going to name their baby?
Make it happen.
Elmira.
Somebody named their baby the Morning Scramble.
That's pretty cool.
Which I am going to completely change topics. Did they ever get back to you?
Yeah.
They did.
I completely forgot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. We missed her first birthday party.
Yes.
But we've been working on a play date.
Our baby, Charlotte, the Morning Scramble Blue.
Yes.
We need to get together. It's just, it's hard because this is a busy time of year.
Will this be pre-holiday or post-holiday?
We'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
I got to go back to the messages. Now that you say that,
but she
I
got
might
a hold
owe
of
her
you.
A message. Yes.
Okay.
Whew. Oh,
I got worried that she was mad at us.
No. Oh my gosh. I forgot to ask you.
That's all good. I'm glad we could catch up while we're on the radio.
Seriously.
Any other business we need to attend
to? Any other business.
That we haven't talked about?
It's the most wonderful time of the year, except the thing about Christmas is sometimes it comes with bad candy.
Well, we tried a little bit yesterday on our elf version of Taste of Tuesday.
There's like some traditional stuff that comes your way, and I'm not always for everything. My husband's thing is those cherry cordials.
Love them.
You love them?
Yeah.
We're
melding into the same man. I'm
you
sorry.
You are the same man. It's so, like he has to have those every year.
I don't have to have them, but I do love them.
But if they're there.
I will enjoy them.
I don't hate them. It's just, I don't get why it's a thing that only comes out this time of year.
Well, nutcrackers. Like people actually serving a real nut at a holiday party that you have to crack and then pick out the meal yourself. Like, that's a thing I've never got into.
Yeah, why?
Why did the adults do that?
I think nuts were like a more special thing, like the orange in your stocking.
Yeah.
Which is how you got to the orange chocolate. You know, those things that you...
Which are, you break it?
Yeah,
that's a tradition, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a thing.
Unusual. Either. We tried figgy pudding once on a way back Taste of Tuesday.
Yeah.
That was not appetizing.
Nope.
It was more of a spicy... Almost non-sweet pudding. Mealy a little bit.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, savory.
I told my kids they could get candy canes to decorate their little like kid Christmas tree. And they got soda pop flavored candy canes. There's like a
that
Sprite.
Was another Tasted Tuesday. Didn't we do bacon and mac
yes.
and cheese?
Mac candy and cheese candy canes?
Yes.
There's all those non-traditional flavored candy
yeah.
canes. If it's not peppermint, it's not always good.
Agreed. Just stick with the classics, man.
But the classics at Christmas, it's like, why did we do that? Why is that? Like that Christmas nougat? Like, why is that a thing?
I like those too.
Yo, what is wrong with you? All these monster candies and you're
these
like,
these are
oh,
lovely
you
candies.
Know what?
Lovely candies.
You take your nasty candies and get out of here.
I'll bring it to your house for the open house. And you're going to eat it. Because I'm
what
the guest.
Open house?
By the way, you're having an open house.
I'm having an open house.
You have to have an open house so I can bring you candies you don't like.
No!
How else? You're not going to do it here.
I would much rather do it here. Nope.
Nope, we're coming over.
Oh.
We'll bring a poinsettia.
But great. You can sit it on the pile of clothes. These are the socks that my children take off and put right in front of the TV.
That's like our house. We don't even have kids. It eventually works its way to the bottom of the stairs. And then eventually we're going to wear it in a laundry bin. It takes a couple of there's some phases to it.
I have to just find them places.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Okay, what's the date?
Today is Wednesday, December 6th.
December 6th. December 6th. I'm trying to keep everything in line because there's so many things that you got to like make sure we get this done. Tomorrow was a kind of a cutoff date. My daughter is doing a gift exchange with her friends. And I was like, oh my gosh, December 7th is pretty early, honey.
It's tomorrow?
It was.
Okay.
But it got moved because presents are very important to young people. I was super excited because at first when she told me that she's doing a gift exchange amongst friends, it was like, we're going to draw something. Like it's a piece of artwork and then we're going to just do like an art swap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that is so wholesome. I love that. And she's like, we're going to do like a gift exchange, like gift. So we're going to do the art plus a gift and we're going to exchange things. I was like, oh, cool. Is there a dollar amount? No, we can buy as much as we want. I'm like, oh, dear. And then apparently everybody was done shopping. So they just decided to move it up a couple days.
Is it today?
It was yesterday. I wasn't even I'm like, did you wrap it? I didn't wrap it.
What was it?
She did a drawing.
Yeah.
And then she got like those claw hair clip things, very, mm-hmm. very popular right now. And
what'd she get?
What?
Is that what she gave or what she got?
She gave, and she gave some candy.
Yeah.
She got a beautiful bracelet back. Just gorgeous.
Do you think it was more money than what you guys
said? That's what I'm worried about. I am very worried about I'm like, oh, you got like a claw hair clip, a candy. Like, is that the same? This is a beautiful bracelet. I really hope they didn't go too deep into the pocketbook on this one.
Oops.
I didn't know.
You didn't know, and it's done.
And it started with, it's a drawing exchange, right?
Stay like, with that.
We're just doing art for each other.
Nope.
So things got ratcheted up a bit.
Well, be better prepared for next year.
I guess.
You never know what's coming.
And you never know it's coming on December 5th.
You never know what's coming, which is why I'm here to live my life and talk about it, so you don't have to go through the pitfalls that I go through.
Let Eric fail first.
For example, I tried to fly to France back in 2018, right as this show is getting off the ground.
No can do, sir.
I'm at the airport in Newark, New Jersey, about ready to board the plane, and they deny me entry because my passport, though valid, would have our trip would have been over, but you need like this 6-month cushion. And they tell you that when you get a passport and nobody pays attention
to
that.
Why would you pay attention to that?
And I've had many a person thank me for going through that experience because it saved them from going on a trip without having the proper passport. So you're welcome.
Nice.
I would now like to talk about coming back into these great United States of America.
So they let you out of the country.
If you ever travel, you got to get back in. Be it Mexico, a cruise, internationally. And customs is the world's longest line.
Uh-huh.
You just stand there and stand there.
Well, you got to like declare things, right?
You got to declare things. They're going to stamp your passport. They're going to grill you. Where did you go? What did you do? You got to fill out forms. There is a way to skip the line with something called global entry. It's through the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The same people that bring you TSA PreCheck, by the way, which I wholeheartedly recommend when you're traveling away, because that's a shorter security line. So Shannon and I applied. It's $100. It's good forever. But you have to be face-to-face interviewed. And I have my interview today.
Are you nervous?
I think I'm pretty good. I know enough about these great United States.
Wait, it's a pop quiz?
I don't know.
How have you prepared?
I have a passport.
Okay.
I have a piece of paper that shows I live where I live, which is a utility
bill. Wait, are you going to be quizzed on questions about you, or is it questions about the country?
I have reviewed my passport, so I know the rules of the passport. I know the countries I've been to. If he goes, what's that stamp?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, that was when we went to Paris the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Try to. So I have prepared in that way. And then I think I've just got a good general knowledge about the country. So I think I'm good. I know some state capitals. I know how the three forms of government work. I know there's two houses of Congress. What is that? I think it's like I'm prepared for a citizenship test.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I think that's kind of where you need to be.
But I have to drive to Des Moines for this.
What?
Shannon had to drive to Peoria.
Why?
Because we don't have an international airport and customs in Cedar Rapids. So we had to go to the closest.
Peoria does?
Yes, they do. They're a port of some sort, but they don't offer this here. So I'm, after the show, going to drive to Des Moines, 2-hour drive, for a 5-minute interview to get back in the car and drive back.
For 5 minutes?
Shannon said it was a 5-minute interview when she got hers done.
What did they ask her?
She won't tell me.
Oh! God.
She's like, you got to figure it out on your own.
Let me know what's on the test.
I will let you know. Now, if I fail, I will tell you tomorrow what the questions were, so nobody else has
Study
to worry about
ahead
it.
Ahead of time.
Cedar Rapids Police and Fire on the scene of an apartment fire in the 200 block of 19th Street Northeast. It was about 2:13 yesterday when the calls came through. Responders arrived at the scene, found residents unable to escape their apartments on the second and third floors due to smoke in the hallways and requiring rescue through exterior windows. Fire was located on the third floor. Crews worked to extinguish that fire. 4 victims treated for smoke and fire-related injuries. 1 did not survive. No injuries reported to firefighters or police. Fire investigators have determined the cause of that fire to be accidental. Sports shorts. University of Iowa defensive coordinator and secondary coach Phil Parker named the recipient of the 2023 Broyles Award. The Broyles Award is presented to the top assistant coach in college football.
Well, well, well.
Well deserved.
Yeah, I mean.
For Coach Parker.
Wow.
Congratulations. Waiting for Iowa and the bowl game as they get ready to take on Tennessee coming up on New Year's Day. Time for another week of the Mount Mercy University Elevate Award. This is in coincides with their new leadership program. It includes a minor in leadership. They also have a graduate program as well. Mount Mercy University recognizing student leaders in our area who elevate their community. This week's Elevate Award goes to Peyton Donahue from Lisbon High School.
Okay, what
Allow
do we know about
me
Peyton?
To paraphrase.
You said there's a lot of good things about Peyton.
From Peyton's counselor. Peyton's a wonderful example of someone who consistently seeks to better himself and the world around him. Academically speaking, he's taken on a challenging course load. He's going to have an associate's degree when he graduates.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Smarty pants. Wow.
He's organized 2 blood drives and run them both for Lisbon High School. Plans to pursue a career in nursing.
Wow.
One of 2 students serving as an AmeriCorps student leader, which helps increase access to college and careers for his fellow high school students.
Holy moly, Peyton.
Peyton truly strives to make the world a better place, leads by example to make that happen. Peyton, you are the recipient of a $500 Elevate Scholarship upon your enrollment at Mount Mercy University, along with some other goodies from the admissions office. If you want to learn more, because this has to go through your counselor's office, Mount Mercy does the selection. Just look for the Mount Mercy University Elevate Award information on the Z102.9 Facebook page.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Forbes magazine published their list of the world's most powerful women. And do you have a guess as to who is included in the list?
I would include a lot of people in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think like titans of female industry.
This is industry. In the world.
Oh, wow.
So, well, yeah, that makes it even
like
bigger.
Somebody from Germany. Is that the chancellor, whatever her name was?
She's no longer there. There is a bunch of
international
friends. We've got like the president of the European Commission.
That's the one I was thinking
one.
Of.
I knew it. President of the European Central Bank.
That was the third one.
That's
I was thinking
a big
of.
One. The prime minister of Italy.
Oh yeah, her.
Vice president Kamala Harris.
That was given.
Obviously.
Yes.
But number five on the list.
Okay. Before this year, or maybe let's say in the last 5 years, I would have always said Oprah. Yeah. Oprah still commands.
Still on the list.
Okay.
Number 31, but at number 5.
It's clearly Taylor Swift.
It's Taylor Swift. Yeah, absolutely. Powerful. Most powerful woman. It's not, you know, based on money. It's a combination of status and the power she's able to wield. I mean, she killed Ticketmaster.
Yes.
And has people all around the world, you know, flocking to the, like, stadiums. It's, she's pretty powerful.
She has some power.
Pretty powerful. At other notable names on the list, Melinda Gates is at number 10. Number 13 is Mackenzie Scott, formerly Bezos.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Beyonce is 36 on the list. Rihanna, 74. And Barbie made the list.
Was there a Kardashian?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Because it's not money. It's
power.
Power.
And right now, I don't think they have as much influence as maybe past years.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay, a surprise appearance by Jamie Foxx. He was in person Monday night to receive an award at a ceremony honoring Black, Latino, and Asian people in the arts. Nobody knew that he was coming, but he received this Vanguard award, and he walked up on his own on stage and accepted the award. We still don't know exactly. He didn't address what put him in the hospital earlier this year, but he's glad to be back. He said, I wish I wouldn't have went through the worst. He saw light at the tunnel, and he said it was hot in that tunnel, too. I didn't know which way I was going, but I thought to myself, am I going to the right place? So he said that he has a new respect for life, a new respect for his art, and he is glad to be back. We kind of had the, who was it that accidentally said it was a stroke?
I think Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Accidentally said it was a stroke. But I'm inferring that he thought he may have been going to hell.
Yeah.
So he thought he might need to fix a few things before he was done on the planet.
So instead of that, I'm going to try to go back.
Wow.
I know. I'm like, this is a very Christmas Carol tale.
That's
you're
right.
Telling Jamie
yes.
Foxx.
This is the third ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost of Christmas Future.
Speaking of the future, we're getting excited for the big game, the Super Bowl, coming up on February 11th, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. There's a lot of different kind of like ways other channels try to get involved. And Nickelodeon is one of them. They're getting involved. They're having a very special broadcast of the game.
Are they doing the slime game?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay. No.
Because they do that sometimes for kids to explain how the game works, and then they add slime effects on top of the actual broadcast. What are they doing?
They are having a very special guest. SpongeBob SquarePants and Patrick Starr are going to assist in calling the game.
No.
Yeah, they're going to have a telecast with some sportscasters and then other characters from Bikini Bottom just making comments. Sandy Cheeks is going to report from the sidelines. Larry the Lobster is going to provide live commentary. And it's not just Bikini Bottom. Dora the Explorer and Boots are going to help explain penalty calls.
Okay.
Kids are watching the Super Bowl.
We watched that one game, that European game that was on
with the
Toy Story characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're used to doing some interesting things with our sports cast, but they haven't said what the halftime performance is going to be.
If you could get David Hasselhoff.
Oh. David Hasselhoff.
That'd be awesome.
Teams up with SpongeBob, maybe?
There might be possibility.
Just dreaming. We'll see.
It feels like this is going to be full of surprises. As part of the broadcast.
Yes.
Right? You don't know who's around the corner.
Colorful.
Yeah.
And interesting. That's what we like to call.
Z's Sleaze.
We went a tree shopping yesterday.
We did. We had to go tree shopping to find a real Christmas tree because producer Ben and I have never experienced a real tree.
A lot of people in the building, we found out, growing up, never had a real tree.
Oh my goodness. Once we came back with a real tree, it was like everybody came out of the woodwork and it was like, oh wow, I've never seen this happen.
They're beautiful and they smell great. That's part of the reason.
They do.
I think.
Before we went, there was people like, you're getting a real tree, like a real one.
And a lot of concerns too, like squirrels.
There's the, thanks to Christmas Vacation, there are two, I think, big myths about real Christmas trees. They all come with squirrels, which they don't, because they've been looked at the tree farm. And
right.
Two, they all catch on fire, which provided you water it and keep it away from open flame, you should be good.
Uncle Lewis and his stogie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you had a lot of sewer gas in that particular incident.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Because of what was dumped from the camper from Cousin Eddie.
Forgot about the sewer gas.
Yeah. There was a lot of leading factors up to that.
Mm.
Let's go to the moment we got there. How did you guys feel walking through the selection? Claire?
it was exciting. We went to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse and we talked to Joan and we asked her to kind of like walk us through the process. The thing that surprised me about the process was she's like, okay, come out here and see all of the trees. Each one has a name.
Yes. I think we looked at Dasher, Pixie, Grinch.
Did you guys see Prancer?
Prancer, that was the
good one.
Prancer was huge.
You like, let's get this one.
It was so, like, that is like the Christmas tree's Christmas tree.
That's the Buddy the Elf tree. We cut it down in Central Park and it won't fit in the house.
Maybe a big 10-footer or something. Oh my gosh. If we had a big, beautiful, like, bay window or something, that thing. Oh.
I'm glad you brought up the size of the tree because there are two people in this room that we used for scale. I am one of them, and producer Ben is the other.
I think we have, you know, some height difference here. So we thought that the space that we have to play with is around Ben's height.
Yes.
But we think that Eric's height would be a better
As long as we didn't exceed Ben's height, we were good.
Must not.
So we looked for trees that were my size, and we found one. And it's adorable.
It's a very cute tree. We thought about getting a tree called the Grinch.
Yeah.
I love the name.
Why didn't you like that one?
I think like the Grinch, it had just like one side that was a little bit puffy.
Okay.
On the bottom, you know?
Kind of like his belly.
His belly kind of just goes, and the Grinch was very much that tree. But I, as soon as I was told the tree that we selected, its name is Tiny Tim.
So Tiny Tim is now in our office.
Yeah. A magical tree. A tiny but mighty little tree. Tiny Tim is adorable and smells fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We should mention, producer Ben, you and I were overlooked for the opportunity to give the tree a fresh cut. Claire got to use power tools.
I was worried for her.
Were you guys excited for me?
I was excited and worried.
We were both a little worried because it's a Sawzall and you just got to go all in on that.
Yes.
You can't hesitate.
No.
And you get vroom, vroom.
Well, I didn't hesitate on grabbing the power tool.
No, but I think you were like, how does it work?
I was worried about the other person's hands. I can't remember.
Joan had hands far enough up the tree that I think she was safe.
She stabilized it for me.
Yeah, because Claire had both hands on the Sawzall.
My only fear was like, where's the end of the tree going to go as soon as I get it sawed all the way through? And I just thought, knowing me, it's going to fly up and hit me in the face.
No, it just dropped to the ground. You have a little token now. That could almost be an ornament.
Ooh, we could make it into an ornament.
You could make it into an ornament.
Put part of itself back on it.
Fresh cut. It's now in the office. We've got it. It's taking a bath of perfect water with a little bit of tree solution they sold us.
Is it?
It's ready to go.
Is it going to be okay? Is it doing okay?
I think it's doing fine.
You said that this is a very important time. We are letting the tree rest.
It's settling. The branches are going to, with the heat, it needs to acclimate to its surroundings. So the branches are going to fall a little bit, which will give us more space for decorating. It's got to get used to our watering schedule. We gave it a big old bath of water yesterday. It was down about a half an inch this morning. And it's a smaller tree, so I think that number, at first I'm like, I was expecting a lot more water to be gone, but I think we're good.
It's a very tiny tree.
It's not that robust. And to tell you what, producer Ben, while we're driving back, is lining up tree watering people for the weekends.
That was amazing, Ben.
You were on top of that.
Gotta think ahead.
You did. He has a schedule already printed out of who's going to water the tree when they come in to work in the weekends. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't want to come in on the weekend and do it.
We all don't want to come
in. Right, right. So if there's somebody who's already here, I mean, like, why? Everybody can pitch in. It's everybody's tree now.
All we got to do is leave them a little instruction sheet, and then I'm big on clipboards and checking off that you did it. Do you think that's too much?
A clipboard?
A clipboard's going to live by the tree.
That's so magical.
Well, I don't want, one person misses watering it, and then I don't want nettles everywhere, little needles, right?
Let's see how the rest of this week goes.
Okay.
Because it didn't drink a whole lot of water.
I was expecting more water.
Yeah.
Do you think this thing's going away on Friday? We'll keep an eye on the water.
We'll keep an eye on the water.
You gave it a fresh cut.
Yeah. It's fine.
It should be good.
It's settling. It's in its magical settling phase.
That's what happens when you get a fresh cut tree. Claire, fresh cut.
It is so fresh. But we have to wait 24 hours before decorating.
That was my request. Okay. Although Culver's told us It's been sitting there unwrapped, so the branches have fallen for the most part. It's a Fraser fir. It's nice. It's soft.
It is. Shockingly soft.
Maybe we get the lights on today and we can do ornaments tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that halfway there?
Deal.
Is that good for you both?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just excited.
Your
Sorry.
Live tree, guys.
It's just enthusiasm, man.
Bringing Christmas spirit to everybody and specifically to our office.
So cozy.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric, your friends and neighbors. Z102.9.
Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about the 3-hour finale last night on ABC and Disney
Plus. Holy buckets. That was a lot of ballroom dance.
I'm texting you outfit observations within the first 20 minutes, and then you catch up. You're like, what's, because there's no dancing. It's 30 minute recap. So was there, like, was a pregame.
Wait, what did I miss? Because they're,
you
just
missed
talking.
Nothing. The show, it started at 7:30, basically.
Basically.
But they had to go long. They had 5 finalists.
Did they have to?
Based on how the scores worked their way out, so I have 3 dancers in the finals. You guys each have 2, mm-hmm. but we all share 1. So basically I have 2, you guys have 1.
Basically.
My extra, which is Allison Hannigan, had no right being in the finals.
They should have cut her.
She should have been cut.
Going into
yes.
the finals. I don't understand, other than they knew they needed to fill 3 hours. So they're like, well, we need more bodies.
Do you think they had the time already figured out?
Probably.
So like, we need more people?
Yes, precisely.
Because there's the judges' scores, and then they tabulate what America says, and then that's what gives you the final ranking. Because if you look at last night, Jason Mraz actually wasn't a top 3 dancer based on the scores.
What?
He was at number 4. He's on your team, Claire.
Well, I don't like that.
But based on what America said, he moved into the top 3.
He's a sweetheart.
He is a sweetheart. Are you guys both prepared? He also performed a song, and they're all still wearing those stupid jumpsuits.
Yeah.
God. I have the final tallies, and I am now going to hand them to each of you.
Okay, I have not seen the final scores.
Neither of you.
Can
I trust these, or do I need to prep my
calculator? Producer Ben's really good at checking your math.
You might want to check the math. On the very first week we did this, Producer Ben caught a math error. I had an equation wrong in the formula.
It was one time.
And I will tell you this, Claire, now on air. You, up until I reformulated the formula, lost.
What?
Because it wasn't counting one of your scores.
What?
But I got everything figured out. Are you all...
What?
Where are you
so
looking?
So confused.
I know exactly how to read this, guys. Don't worry about it. What you're looking at is the spread of the scores for weeks 1 through week 11. That is what's happening to the right. If you look at the left, the total points in that column will tell you who won 3-2-1. Ben is checking to make sure it's not been forged.
Ben just whipped off his shoes and he's now counting
his
toes.
He's using his toes. Last night, the scores said Allison Hannigan was 5th, Jason Mraz 4th, Erin Maddox was 3rd, Charity Lawson, my other dancer, 2nd, and Xochitl Gomez, 1. That's based on the judges' scores, but then they have to add America's votes.
Right.
Your final 5 in this order, Allison Hannigan was 5. Charity Lawson was 4.
Ooh. Well, I mean, she's a reality. I mean, you don't have the same poll. She was on 1
you're
season
right. I think
of
she,
a show.
Technically better, doesn't have the heart of America.
Perhaps.
Erin Maddox is right there at 3. And we all have her, so basically we take
she's
her off the board.
She's got a great story.
Jason Mraz, 2 last night. He is the runner-up.
Great voice.
Xochitl Gomez on Producer Ben's team, the 1 dancer last night.
That means I win?
No.
No.
Because it's a tabulation of all of the scores across the entire season.
Because you also had Jamie Lynn Spears, who was eliminated early on.
And Adrian Peterson, who was eliminated early on. Lele Pons was eliminated too soon, in my opinion. But that hurt him. He wasn't carrying scores through. So, losing Dancing with the Stars, a fantasy edition, is Producer Ben with 444 points.
Ooh.
Coming in at 2 at 464 is Dancing Eric Hansen. Your winner.
What?
Of the Morning Scramble, Dancing with the Stars, fantasy edition, with 475 points.
Oh my gosh.
Is Claire.
Oh my gosh. I have so many people to thank. Great job, team.
If Jason Mraz and Charity Lawson had swapped positions, I think I would have won by about 10
didn't.
Points. But I didn't.
But you didn't. It was me.
Did Claire ever drop below first place the whole entire time?
Like the second week, I think. But you came out swinging because you had 50 points out of the gate because you had the worst dancer. You had the first one voted
and
off.
That was a part of my
which
strategy.
Was Matt Walsh.
I thought that the worst dancer was going to be Harry Jowsey, but it was apparently Matt Walsh. Either way, I got the early point.
You lost
benefit.
A dancer week one. Ben lost week two. I lost a dancer week three. And we kind of followed that pattern for a while until we got to the semifinals and the finals. Claire, the winner of Dancing with the Stars, the Morning Scramble Fantasy Edition.
As the winner of Dancing with the Stars Fantasy Edition, I would just like to say that, first of all, I'm humbled and grateful to be here at the top. I want to offer a possible punishment to the loser of Dancing with the Stars.
It has been a moment, you guys, since we have spun the
Wheel of Punishment.
I mean, I think it could be kind of fun.
If either of you lost, would you have suggested the Wheel of Punishment?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not interested in that.
But producer Ben, I think tomorrow you get to spin the
Wheel of Punishment.
You loser.
Whoa.
Let's punish the loser.
Do we have a time for this tomorrow? Are we still working this out?
8 o'clock tomorrow.
8 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
You going to be here?
We'll see.
Oh, no. I shouldn't have given him a heads up.
8 o'clock tomorrow because he lost Fantasy Football Edition of Dancing with the Stars. Producer Ben gets to spin.
Wheel of Punishment.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
It's the busy season here at the North Pole, but I will always make time for the Morning Scramble Santa line. I have two elves helping me today, Holly and Jolly.
Howdy. Hi.
Jolly, please play the first message.
Hi, Santa. All I want for Christmas is the Fire Truck Lego set and the new Investigator book. I hope you and Mr. Claus are doing well. See you soon.
Great to hear from you, Noah. Mrs. Claus and I are doing very well, thank you. I hope you and Nala are ready for Christmas. Oh, Nala, such a good doggy. Thank you for your Christmas wishes, Noah. I love when boys and girls ask for Legos, and I really love that you're asking for a new Investigators book for Christmas. My favorite is All Tied Up with Mango and Brash on the High Seas. Maybe I'll leave you a copy, Okay, Harley, let's get another message.
Hi, Santa. My name's Edison. I want a football costume for Christmas.
Edison, lovely to hear your voice, young man. I can hear how excited you are to get a football costume for Christmas. I'll have the elves remind me so I get you just the right color of your favorite team. Oh, Edison, want to hear a football joke? Holly, Jolly, you'll like this one too. Okay, which football player gets to wear the biggest helmet? The one with the biggest head.
Good one, Santa.
Ooh, it's extra cookie day in the cafeteria. I better go. Merry Christmas.
Who's making a list and checking it twice?
Give Kris Kringle a jingle with the Morning Scramble Santa line.
Thanks to Hertin and Stalker Jewelers.
Just click uploads on the Z102.9 app. Record your little one, send it to us, and we'll take it from there.
Happy holidays from Z102.9.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.